Crispin here on the North Shore Vineyard Church audio podcast. Today on the podcast, we have our State of the Vineyard address, just to kind of catch everybody up to speed on where we've been the last 6 months or so and kind of where we're going. Got some exciting things coming up here in the future, and so we're just trying to get everybody up to speed on that. So that's about all I got to say today. We're going to go ahead and head over to the talk. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check us out on the web at northshorevineyard.org.
Okay. Well, today we're calling this service the State of the Vineyard. Cue the patriotic music. Every once in a while, we like to just dedicate a service to kind of where we've been and where we're going as a church. And so if you're new here, this is probably be good. I mean, I can't say this is going to be the most spiritually challenging message that you've heard, but it just might be. First off, I'm going to kind of start off by recapping where we've been in the last few, last 6 months or so. And then the part that I like is we're going to talk about where we're going as a church. So good stuff ahead. I've kind of broken it up. Does everybody realize that on the back of your bulletin there is, an outline? Some people haven't figured that out yet, but you guys are smart. Kind of broken it up into a few aspects that we're going to cover on the where we've been and then also on where we're going: community, missions, weekend services, and finances. Community, I'm generally using that word for things that we've done here to facilitate community happening in this church. Back in the fall, we ran a thing called Alpha. How many people attended our Alpha last fall? We had a lot more people last service, all the Alpha attendees. And if you're not familiar with Alpha, basically it's just a 10-week kind of conversation around dinner on the basics of Christianity. And we did that back in the fall. We turned this church right here into a little bistro. We had tables set up, had a jazz band. Man, I can say on authority that we had the most kicking spot on a Tuesday night in downtown Covington. And until you walked outside and you heard the crickets at 9 o'clock. But we started off by that. We had about 50 people show up for our opening dinner, and then it kind of, usually atrophies a bit. And, but had about 30, 35 people showing up each week to talk through their journey with Jesus. And it was really cool because we had a few people kind of jump into the journey for the first time in their life and have a really meaningful experience with God, which is what it's all about. And back in after Alpha was over in January, we did baptisms over at Al and Judy LeBlanc's house. They're not here today because they're in Florida, but we started out a New Year's tradition of baptizing people. We baptized Ricky the first year after our Alpha, and then the first baptism, man, you are special. And Ricky's baptism canceled a little bit more because of that, but it was. We for the first round of baptisms, we picked like the coldest day in January, and but we did another round. We baptized 4 people back in January, which was really cool. And then out of that, keeping with our talking around dinner tables, we launched our round of small groups. Now, back when I was, some of my first churches I went to, you would sign up for a small group and you would be in that group for the rest of your life. And either that or it would turn into this kind of pyramid scheme where you were always trying to divide the small group up, except you couldn't call it division. You had to call it multiplication because that's a more positive term. And so small groups ended to be kind of a strange thing that you felt you kind of obligated to attend but never free to get out of. And so kind of way we do small groups here at the church is we do them in kind of seasons of 10 to 12 weeks. And so to launch our season of spring, winter small groups, we started off with a supper club here. For 4 weeks, we did the small groups here so you could kind of get to know some people and see if you even wanted to go to their house afterwards. And we had enough people to do like 5 groups, but no. By the end of it, we launched 2 small groups, and one at Dan and Paulette Nitschke's house over in West Covington, and then I got to host one at my house in Abita Springs for the first time because we actually moved into a place that had a living room that could hold more than 4 people. So that was pretty cool. So we ran our small groups on a book called Christianity Beyond Belief by Todd Hunter, which we actually have in the bookstore, which was a really good group, and we had a lot of good discussions and really good ministry times in the homes. And then during that, we did the 40 Days of Faith. Who kind of participated in our 40 Days of Faith thing? Anybody in here? Okay, there's a few. We did basically putting some devotionals online, encouraging people to really spend some special time seeking God, maybe fasting a little. And then as a part of that, we did this thing called Three is Enough groups. And Three is Enough group is just basically you get two or three other people that you will get with once a week, not to do a Bible study or anything, just to talk and pray for one another. And I got to tell you, I was mentioning this to Dina, my wife, who's back here in the infants room, but I mentioned to her, it's like, you know, the 40 Days of Faith season, it was a really stressful time for me. Just had a lot of stuff going on, but I really, you know, setting aside time to get with two or three other people a couple times a week, I actually went to two Thai groups, so I got double prayer, which was good, but setting aside time just to get with some other people and pray was just incredibly helpful for me. Like what's the old saying? Halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. That's like a bad, you know, set of circumstances to push you in a wrong direction. And I certainly was experiencing a little bit of all of those. No anger towards you guys, but not really much anger anyway. But I found in the midst of being stressed out that I really felt the grace of God upon me. So that was the Thai groups. And then in the midst of that, we actually started a youth service, which we're going to be doing our next one on Wednesday night. Woo-woo. Okay. We started a monthly youth service once a month because that's all I can swing right now. I'm the youth pastor at the moment. I don't plan on being the youth pastor long term. But we had just enough people that we needed to go ahead and get something going. So we got about 10, 15 kids showing up for those, and we've been having a real good time on that. And then Paulette Nitschke, Dan's wife, she's back there today because she heads up. She volunteered to be our coordinator for the older kids back there, which was really a godsend because Dina had been doing all of it for the last year and never felt particularly gifted at running any of it. But, you know, she kind of was the person to do it. And so now she's just doing the infants and toddlers, and Paulette has taken over running our older kids service, which they have a blast back there. Last weekend when Dan was speaking, I was back there and talked to him, and looked like they were having more fun than we have in here. But anyway, so that's where we've been on the community side. Mission side, back in Thanksgiving, we did an outreach called Bag Hunger, where we were able to distribute 60 Thanksgiving dinners to families that needed them in our community. Well, the cool thing was we found more than half of the families were right here within 10 blocks of our church, which is really kind of why we located the church here. Part of the reason why we chose downtown Covington instead of Mandeville is there were some real needs in, you know, that are obvious in the community. So we are able to distribute that, and we hand delivered them all. So it was a really great thing. Families from our church would get to spend time talking with some of these people that we were delivering to. It was really good. And then in Christmas, over December, we got to give a Christmas present as a church to a group called Seeds of Hope. Seeds of Hope does freshwater wells for folks in Zambia, Africa. They also do have a biosand filtration plant where they make these biosand filters to provide, I mean, there's just no clean water over there, and so just do basic things like that. And then they also do, you know, AIDS testing and hygiene classes, and then also some economic development stuff to help lift people out of poverty. So it was started by a vineyard pastor who was out in California. He just quit that to just completely work with Zambia. So I called them up. I said, what can we do to help you as a church? We want to, we're choosing you as our project for Christmas. And he said, well, look, we really need a new building to do some water testing, AIDS testing, and then some classes. And if y'all could help with that, I was like, great. What's that cost? He said, $6,000. Like, wow. Okay, we'll do it. And I kind of committed us to it, hoping that everybody would give enough money. And the reality is that you guys gave more than $6,000. We had, you know, just over 6,000. So we were able, there's a building being built in Zambia now that I don't know if it's going to have our name on it. That would be cool. it's got a brick with each one of your names on it now. But I thought, you know, it's pretty amazing that within 1 year of doing our weekend services, we were able to do something like that. Because just keep in mind, I mean, I've been a part of big churches before where $6,000 isn't a big deal, but our monthly budget is like $8,500. So that's like three quarters our budget that was given on top of what we normally take in. So I thought it's pretty cool thinking within 1 year we were able to make an impact, not just locally, but across the world. And then in January, we helped send a team out from our church. Mike Manifold, who is on vacation today as well, he led a team to Haiti to help build a dorm facility over there to house teams that will help in the rebuilding effort of Haiti. That's in addition to some other things that have been going on locally. Judy LeBlanc and a few other people have been working with the, what do you call it, food bank, right a few blocks down the road. And then also Judy's launching a thing called a Shine Tea. And it's basically they're doing the first one for a home for unwed mothers where they just come over there and just cater, you know, pamper them and love on them and, you know, do things that girls would enjoy. Not quite sure what that all is, but so they started that. So those are just some of the kind of things that have been happening in the church on the missions front, both locally and abroad. And then just a few things here, just to kind of show you where we've been. The weekend services last year at this time, we were running about 40 to 50 people. This year at this time, we've been running about 80 to 100 people. And if you come in here, it feels like a living room. And a lot of people were surprised when they went to our Easter services, like, wow, there's a lot more people here than I thought there was going to be. And just a little thing on our finances, you know, just to let you in on the journey on that side. When we got sent out from the Kenner Vineyard back in November 2009, they took up an offering for us of $25,000, which was pretty cool. And then there was a few other individuals who gave on top of that, and the church pledged to support a bit on top of that. So when we opened our account for this church to get started in January of 2010, we opened it with like somewhere in the neighborhood of $35,000 to $40,000. That was to, and we figured out our budget was going to be about $8,000, $8,500 a month. So dealing with that, that was enough money to get us about 5 months if nobody gave any money on top of that. So we just took the philosophy of let's just go for it with everything I can, and hopefully in 5 months we can get self-sufficient. That seems like a pretty big order, but by May of last year at this time, it was the first month where our account actually dipped below $10,000. Now, just so you know, I don't keep tabs on who gives what in here. I don't really know anything. All I do is I look at the balance in the account each week. I'm like, okay, we're doing okay. Maybe need to pray harder this week or whatever. I don't really want to know who gives what because I don't want that to ever be a weird issue. Okay, just so you know that. I'm not like the tithe police or anything. But last May, we'd actually dipped below $10,000. I think we were down to like $6,000 or $7,000. And it got a little scary there for just a few weeks because I'm like, wow, you know, we gave it everything we got. Do I need to start looking for another job? But it was cool because in June, we actually hit our budget for the first time. We actually brought in enough money, enough money to actually take it. And since then, our giving has been increasing as more people have been showing up, and we are actually now in our account, we're actually back to where we started. So we got like between $35,000, $40,000 in the account now, which is good because we're going to need money for some other things I'm going to talk about shortly. So, yay. Great? Yeah, nobody's excited? Come on, you just got here and you're excited. Yeah, don't shout me down now. I'm about to preach. All right. Where are we going as a church? Well, just on the practical side, I'm going to give a few of these things. And then my favorite part of the service is coming up in just a few minutes because this is where we engage in things. Oh, by the way, speaking of where we're going, as I continue to talk, here, I can pass a few down that row. And here, just finish it for me. Thank you, Josh. as we continue to talk here, if you Now, obviously, if this is your first or second time here, don't feel like you have to fill this out. If you feel like it, you can. But on this forum that I put out, if you feel like there's anything that God's putting on your heart that you would like to maybe be a part of, this doesn't commit you to anything, but if you'd like more information or maybe to be a part of any of these things, just check it off. And we're going to take the offering up at the end, and you can drop this card back off in the end. But I just wanted you to be thinking about that. Where are we going as a church? Well, on the practical side of things, this summer we're probably going to do a marriage course. The marriage course will be basically for anybody, whether you've been married 2 months or 30 years, whatever. It's just going to, or 40, 50. You've been married 40 years? Dang, bro. Your woman's got a lot of grace in her life, huh? 40 years with you is like, 120. No, I'm just kidding. No, I love you, Ricky. Ricky, you keep it fun around here. We're going to do a marriage course this summer, and it'll probably be kind of alpha style. It'll probably involve food, I'm suspecting, and then some good stuff about marriage. We'll be doing our next alpha course in the fall. I'm not sure if we're going to do it here. We may do it at an off-site location in a restaurant or something like that. And then on the front of children, we're hoping, I've been talking about this, we're still working on getting a 4 and 5 year olds class going here, because right now our church back there for the kids goes from 4 to 8, I think, 8 or 9. There's a lot of difference, but we realize there's a lot of difference between a 4 year old and even a 6 year old, not so much, not to mention like an 8 or 9 year old. So we're going to try to divide that up a little bit more on the weekends. A lot of it's just logistical issues, honestly. So, and then we're going to keep doing some stuff with the youth and all that. Missions. I'm going to show you a video here in a second. When we sent out Mike and Brian to the Haiti team, it was with this ministry that has been started in the Vineyard movement, the larger Vineyard movement called Mercy Response. Back when Katrina hit, was anybody else living on the South Shore? We probably got a few people. Yeah, we got a lot of y'all who were living on the South Shore during Katrina. I was living in Kenner, and it was so amazing. Within a week, there were Vineyard churches. I mean, really, within a few days, there were Vineyard churches sending people from around the country, and teams just started showing up. It was kind of a grassroots kind of thing, didn't have a lot of structure at first, and the church we were in Kenner, the Vineyard Church in Kenner had been in a strip mall for 20 years and had been building this building for a couple of years and finally finished it. We had actually moved our offices over there. We were planning on having our first service in there the weekend after Katrina, and so it was kind of anticlimactic, we're all excited to have our grand opening, and then a storm hits, and there was like about $250,000 worth of damage in the building. The building, though, even with the damage, it was still able to be used as soon as we got the electricity on. So I want to show a little video here, because this is kind of gets back to the roots of Mercy Response and kind of the journey that me and the other staff members were on. This is, you're going to see Phil, the pastor there, and because I had to use a YouTube clip, it looks like the words are overdubbed because the sound starts lagging as the clip goes on. So, but it is the stuff they really said. I didn't, make this up, just so you know that. But I want to tell you this because we have an opportunity to really continue Mercy Response in kind of a new way. So let's watch the video, and I'll get back on that.
Christian in every church has moments, those moments where the transcendent God of the universe sort of breaks through time and space and breaks in on us, and it's almost as if heaven is touching earth. He grabs your attention and showers you with affection and affirmation, but then just shares the deep secrets of his heart, not just for you, but for his world, and you realize in this moment that things are never going to be the same. Prior to the storm, the Vineyard Church here in Kenner was a thriving, outwardly focused, attractional church. I mean, nearly 2,000 people, 8 weekend services, and we're ready to move into a new facility. And so excited about doing more of the same and ready to double. That's what we thought. We'd double within our first year in the new facility. And overnight, everything changed. I mean, literally, overnight, everything changed. The worst natural disaster in American history caught everyone by surprise. And suddenly, a few of us here in the church were thrust into the middle of trying to save a city where there's no power, there's no food, there's no water. You know what? There's no need for a church service, but there's an incredible need for a church to be of service. We came alive. You see, we shared a common problem. This was an equal opportunity storm. The floodwaters got everybody. And now we, as a small staff, that's all that was here at the time, we had the chance to be a part of the solution to the common problem. Early on, we found ourselves at City Hall, assisting with setting up and running a mobile kitchen where we fed hundreds of city employees, National Guardsmen, and emergency responders. 3 meals a day. I mean, it was an amazing thing, partnering with our city, feeding these workers, and things began to progress. There was a need to provide ice, water, food and for the community, and so we assisted in setting up a relief center. But we didn't do our own relief center. We partnered with the city. They had security. They had forklifts. We had manpower and goods coming in from all over the country. So we served thousands of people a day in this partnership at the relief center. As things began to progress, we moved out into the neighborhood. We were assisting people getting trees off their homes. We helped people start getting ruined furniture and carpet out of their homes, eventually just gutting entire homes throughout our city. And so now we're bringing the kingdom of God in ways that we never thought we would. We're doing things we never thought we would. I mean, this building, for example, we're doing things in here that really serve the community. We're housing a school for mentally handicapped adults. We would have never done that before. We're hosting job fairs. We're opening the building to other agencies outside of the church that really need a place to do these kinds of things. Outside the walls of the building, we're doing things we never thought we would.
Local church organization takes a different approach to helping our neighborhoods. Instead of morning services today, they were told to serve their community by picking up the trash.
It was an unusual Sunday morning for members of the Vineyard Christian Fellowship Church.
We've been having volunteers from vineyards all over the country come in weekend after weekend, giving up their vacation to gut houses.
Today, the group didn't meet at their church in Kenner. That's because their pastor told them to go outside and help clean up the streets. Homeowner Mario Calderini was working on his house when the group stopped by and asked if they could clean up his yard.
These people come in on their hands and knees. So it was a blessing.
In an effort to reach out, Vineyard is working with other nonprofit organizations, including the Beacon of Hope Resource Center, which has home offices all over the Lakeview area.
We serve as a resource center of information for who's available to build, who is licensed, who is insured. We also serve as a source of encouragement. We serve as a source of equipment for them to take care of their yards and just really a motivation for them to come home and rebuild.
When I say that we've become a partner with our city, it means that we share the common goal of rebuilding, renewing, and restoring this city to its former condition and better than it was before. I don't know, but that sounds like the kingdom of God to me. I asked our church not long ago, hey, if our church vanished, would anyone outside of the church even know that we were gone? You know, the truth is, before the storm, if we would have vanished, there'd be a few Walmart shoppers at Christmas time wondering who's going to wrap their presents. But outside of that, I don't know if anybody would have known that we were gone. Since the storm, I got to say, City Hall would notice. Business leaders would notice. Entire neighborhoods would notice. Public schools would notice. Before the storm, we were in an adversarial relationship with our city. We couldn't even get a good permit for landscaping in our building. I mean, we're just at each other all the time about the simplest things, but since the storm, we become partners. We're friends. That's huge. That's so different than it was before. So some folks would say to me, well, you guys are just becoming social workers. Well, I guess you could say that, but that's not how I look at it. I see us as image bearers. We're image bearers of Christ. And in doing these things, in engaging in the life and conversation of our city, we're bringing His presence, we're bringing His power, His compassion, His mercy. We're bringing His kingdom. We're bringing the rule and reign of God. We made a shift from being an empire builder, just building a church, to really being kingdom builders.
When you see these little simple acts of humanity, it does touch the individual. And that kind of sustains us.
You know, this is not new news for so many people and so many churches. I feel like we're kind of late to the table, but I'm so glad we're at least at the table. We've been a kingdom church from the beginning, but what I've discovered is that for me personally, I was internally short-circuited for really practicing this kind of thing. I mean, I had a very narrow focus of what it meant to bring the kingdom of God. And now that focus is, well, it's enlarged. It's much bigger than I ever thought it was. I didn't realize I was such a Gnostic Christian. I mean, I, like many other Christians, was sort of waiting for Jesus to come. Now, at least I wanted to take people out of here with me when I went, but I didn't give much thought to actually bringing heaven here now in these kinds of ways. I don't believe we're going to perfect this world. I just don't believe that at all. But neither do I believe that God's done with it. I believe we're supposed to do everything we can to let heaven touch earth. Do everything we can to bring the kingdom here and now in these very simple and yet powerful ways.
Let me see. I'm back on. Okay. What started out as just a kind of a grassroots response to some needs, you know, what we really found, kind of like what Phil was talking, we really found that God just challenged us, even in our theology, even what we thought of church. I realized, you know, for about 2.5 years, I was cooking a whole lot of barbecue. I was doing more barbecue than anything. I would cook for the teams, and then we actually adopted like 20 blocks of neighborhoods around the church, and we would bring by hot meals twice a week to their FEMA trailers. And I realized very quickly that barbecue was a spiritual thing. I'd always hoped for that. I got a revelation. It's a spiritual thing. Bringing someone in need a hot meal. I mean, Jesus actually said, you know, when I was hungry, did you feed me? And I finally got to realize what Jesus was getting at. And we did see that being in the kingdom of God was much bigger than just telling somebody they needed to get right with God. It was coming along and loving them. And the truth is that we saw a lot of people come into church and experience God, but they didn't come into church and experience God because we gave them food with an agenda. We didn't say, hey, here's some food, come check our church out. They started coming because they saw, they were not expecting Christians to behave like that. For the first time, they saw that there wasn't a bunch of bickering and complaining, just loving on them, and they wanted more of that. So I say all that to say that the National Vineyard Movement gave like about $1.5 million. Churches, most of them, small churches like this one, stepped up to the plate, gave money after Katrina, and they were able to fund Mercy Response for the last few years. They ran out of money recently, and they've decided to take it from being a nationally funded movement kind of funded thing to they're going to start a partnership now. The partnership's going to be led by the South Shore Vineyard. And they've invited us to be a part of the partnership. They're trying to get about 40 churches that will commit to giving to Mercy Response, but also to sending teams to Mercy Response things throughout the year. There's a place that they have recently got in Macomb, Mississippi, that will become the housing, the staging center of all the equipment, you know, generators, all the junk you need to respond to a natural disaster. And the idea is that when these natural disasters pop up within a few states of us, we could actually respond. It's really sad that when the tornadoes hit through northern Alabama, That's the type of thing that Mercy Response has responded to in the last few years. They responded to some tornadoes up in Colorado a few years ago, the flooding in Iowa a couple of years ago, the hurricane that hit Galveston and Houston. They even sent teams up to Memphis for flooding, but they ran out of money, and so, which is a shame because it doesn't look like we're running out of natural disasters anytime soon. We've been invited to be a part of this, and now the partnership is going to house Mercy Response, not in the Houston area where it's been, but now in our area, so we can actually send teams to Macomb to help maintain the equipment. But then also we can put together a group from our church of people that want to be first responders. And so we can go in when an event happens, and we can help with the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the community. We can be the first responders in that. And I think that's, you know, I think that's an amazing thing. Why? Because I've been on the receiving end of it as well. You know, I mean, our place got flooded a bit, and it was a team from Boise, Idaho that came down, and without me even asking, they moved our entire house and boxed up whatever wasn't even packed up and cleaned our old apartment. And it just came and really ministered to us. But I also got to be on the giving end too. And I want us to do more things like that. Also, in the coming days, I've been approached by a couple other Vineyard churches. I was at the National Conference last 2 weeks ago in Phoenix, and there are a lot of churches that are interested in doing a Haiti partnership. A lot of the way missions gets done in the Vineyard is churches that have a similar heart for a similar area come together, and then they start working out a partnership, what that would look like. And they all commit to give a certain amount of money, sending people. And so Haiti, we're looking into a partnership there and maybe taking an exploratory trip there with some other Vineyard pastors later in this year, but really taking some of the Mercy Response model that we found in dealing with you know, New Orleans and other places, and using that in Haiti combined with church planning and some aspects like that, so we can actually help them rebuild, but also help the church there in Haiti. So that's some other things we're looking into in the coming months. And as part of that, I'm going to be on your sheet. If you're interested in missions, I'm actually going to be putting together a missions team in the coming months, that this team can actually get together and come up with creative ways to reach our community, and then also be involved on planning things for initiatives that we have outside. We've had folks like Habitat for Humanity already contact us to work with them. We just need a group of people that can really tackle this together. I don't want to be the guy coming up with all the ideas all the time. I'm okay with coming up with some ideas, but I want us to, whatever we do as a church, let's own it as a church. And let me hear what you got. One other aspect, which is not specifically missions, but I was talking to Phil a few months ago, and the question I asked every pastor these days is if they were a church planner, I'm like, man, if you could do anything over again in church planning, what would you change? And I asked Phil, who was on the video, I said, what would you have changed? He said he would have changed the way they did pastoral care ministry. Their model had been for years to just to deal with it as a staff kind of issue. But recently, a couple of years ago, they went to a different model. They started a thing called, there's a program that you can, that's not a, by any denomination, but it's called Stephen Ministries. Anybody heard of Stephen Ministry? Okay, a few of you. Stephen Ministry, basically, they train up some people to take care of a lot of the pastoral care stuff, like visiting people in the hospital. If somebody loses their spouse and they need somebody to walk through grief with them. And so they've trained up, like, I think somewhere between 50 and 70 people on the South Shore now that are Stephen Ministers. And so if you have somebody in the church that's going through a horrible sickness, they send a Stephen minister to just partner with you and just walk with you through that, even if it takes a year. Or if you're going through a time of grief and loss, they send somebody. Instead of just a pastor meeting with them, you know, for occasional counseling, you've actually got somebody walking alongside you. And really, you know, Phil was like, man, I wish I'd have gone to that right in the beginning. He's like, because it's such a powerful thing, because now the people in the church are owning that. And I really think that's, you know, kind of like what we even talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think that's really the model of the kingdom. So we're probably going to be getting something like that going as well. So if you feel called to if you really have a heart for walking with people through hard times, this would be a great thing for you. You can write on the other thing. You can write Stephen Ministry, because we're going to be looking into getting that going. One thing I want to mention in closing today is we read this book in our small groups called Christianity Beyond Belief, Following Jesus for the Sake of Others. And Todd Hunter, the guy who wrote it, he said, he talks about following Jesus for the sake of other people. And he says, living lives of creative goodness for other people. And this is kind of where I want to end today. That we're going to watch another video here in a second, and you can get it ready. I love this video. They showed this at our national conference, the Cincinnati Vineyard, which it's probably about a 5,000-member vineyard up in Cincinnati. This is something that they did. But I like this video because this is just a regular person in the church. She had actually experienced some medical issues, had been in the hospital, and God really broke her heart as she was in this process of getting healed up, and really got her in contact with a lot of people she wouldn't have normally seen. But she just gets an idea, and she begins to run with it, and the church ends up helping her out. And it's just an amazingly creative way to show forth the kingdom of God to people. So I want us to watch this video, but also what I want to say as we watch it is that I just want to open up in our church that we take the box off our creativity, that we let God engage not only our passions, but our creativity, and that we start creating a place where we can kind of run with some cool ideas. So let's watch this, and I'll be back up here in a second.
The prom is kind of like the anti-prom. When we all went to the prom in high school, the people who were celebrated the most were the pretty people, the people who had it all together, seemingly. This prom was to elevate and celebrate the people who got forgotten. We wanted to eliminate any barriers for folks to feel like they could come and have a great time. And our thought was, hey, if someone got invited to a prom, they're going to want to have something nice to wear. And we don't want them to think, oh, I don't have anything nice to wear and I can't afford it, so I can't come. We ended up having over 1,200 dresses and suits donated. And it appears that all the bridesmaids' dresses this side of the Mississippi landed in my office. We had one girl who tried on 22 dresses because she could. And because she had a personal shopper before she finally landed on this really nice purple number. But it was just really cool to watch how even ahead of time we could see the momentum building in the community as folks got really excited and invited their friends. We decided that we wanted to pick a theme because most high school proms have a theme. And the first thing that came to mind for everybody was just an evening with the stars. We wanted folks, as they arrived, to feel like they were Brangelina, or they were right there in Hollywood on the red carpet at the Chinese Theater, arriving like stars.
Are you allowed to tell us who the big star is?
I'm a special needs person. I'm here to party, honey.
Can we talk to you, Barb? Do you have time? I know you're a big star and everything. I don't want to get, are you excited about this evening?
Yes, I am. Because I'm going to have a blast.
Where did you get this gown?
We designed the event to be like prom and after prom in tandem. So all the events went on at the same time so that people had the freedom to float throughout. We wanted to make sure that everyone felt included and everyone felt valued. We had games that happened all night long with people staffing all of them in shifts. We had Deal or No Deal that had ongoing sign-ups for people to participate. We had dancing and entertainment in the gym.
He's a dancing machine.
Our original thought was we would have, our goal was to have 600 guests. Well, God had bigger plans, and we ended up with 800 guests, and we had upwards of about 1,000 volunteers here that night. There was no one left unattended and uncared for. You know, in high school, everybody wonders who's going to be prom king and prom queen. Well, that's not how it works at God's prom. At God's prom, we are all sons and daughters of the king. We are all prom king and prom queen.
You are the prom king as well.
One of the things that made me fall in love with this place was our mission statement. And one thing that we talk about is loving the people of Cincinnati and the relationship with God. And like, there's no turning back now that you've met these people and that they have a face, they have a name, they have a story. What do we do with that? I would love for next year at prom that it would be really difficult for me to do the escort thing, because there would be so many people who are waiting for a specific person when they arrived, that we wouldn't even have to do that random pairing, that we would have so many relationships that maybe instead of our folks being dropped off in buses, they were being picked up at home by their friends. I think this event was really important because it opened our eyes to the fact that maybe the picture of what community looks like was incomplete, that we were missing some really important folks. I just felt like, you know, in the midst of the evening news, which seems so hopeless, like there's war and people are dying and the market's crashing, but in the midst of all that, on a Friday night in Cincinnati, God is alive and He is on the move and He's invited us along. Like, that there is hope, that there are good things that can happen in times of trouble. I just was overwhelmed to see that God would choose us to do that.
I'll pass around the Kleenex in a minute. I love the mission statement she mentioned of the church up there, loving the people of Cincinnati into relationship with Jesus. And I'm like, man, I might have to steal that. Loving the people of the North Shore into relationship with Jesus. I mean, isn't that amazing? When I saw it, I'm like, man, who would even think of that? That's so cool. But that's the kind of things that I believe God wants us to be a part of, whether it's that kind of thing specifically or other things. I think there in this room and in this church, there's so much creativity. There's people with so much passion to reach out and help different segments of the population in some really unbelievable ways. And it's not about just trying to make people your project or just get them to come to a service, but really just loving them on their terms, right where they're at. And loving him into the relationship with God. Where do I want us to go with the church? I want us to go there. And I think we are going there bit by bit. I think what I've seen in the last year, I do see that. But I just want I want this to be a place where we have permission to just kind of think crazy ideas up and just take risk. Now, our biggest challenges here as a church right now, as far as I can see it, we got, you know, challenges in several areas. We've got more people coming on board sharing the load. Betty has stepped up and she's been doing our bulletins, and that's why they look a lot better than they used to. Doesn't look like just a simple Microsoft Word document. I've got Paulette who's stepped up on the thing. I've got so many of you guys who are serving in different things, whether it's coffee or greeting or announcements. This summer I'm getting a youth internship going to help me get over the hump on some things and help out with getting the youth going. I think one of our biggest needs though right now is our facility. I think, you know, really the past few months I've really began to see that even our building here, it's becoming a barrier to some people. My heart is broken some mornings when I'm leading worship up here and I look over to see a family that showed up late and they're here for the first time and they've got kids and there's no foyer area. So it's like you walk in, it's like, whoa, worship's going on. Okay, what do I do? Where? How do I even, you know, because, and so, you know, we recently started looking at we've used this building
I mean, like we're like Indians with a buffalo here. You know what I mean? We're using everything. And we've used this building as an art gallery back in the fall. We've used it as a restaurant for our Alpha. We've used it for classes for youth ministry. But I think we really need to find a bigger space, not just to have a bigger space, but so we can do stuff like this. So we can facilitate the mission of this church, of loving the people of the North Shore into relationship with God. So we recently looked at a building. If you're coming into Covington from 190, where Coffee Rainy is on your left, right across the street, kind of diagonally, there's a building that has a sign on it that says business relocating for sale. I called the guy up. It's a good building. It's about 7,000 square foot. And we're in the process of negotiating. He finally gave me a proposal on Friday of what our lease could be. And so we're going to be talking with him. We ask for your prayers in this, though, because I think if we don't land on that building, I love that building, though. I mean, it looks like we could use it very easily without a whole lot of work. But whether it's that building or some other place, I just ask for your prayers in the coming months that God would give us wisdom as we move forward. Getting into a bigger building is going to cost more money per month, and there's some things we got to consider. But I think ultimately it'll open up more space for more people to join us in this mission of loving people into the kingdom of God instead of being a barrier to some people. And so I don't ever want to make this, I've talked about money, I think, two times in the last year and a half. And the last time I talked about money, we passed the offering basket around at the end of my message, and somebody was like, oh, great. After hearing that message, and he's passing it, and I said, now take some money out and go bless somebody else. Like, what? No, take some money out of the offering and go ask God what he wants you to do with it. I don't want to ever be a place where you're guilted, and I don't think people feel that. I don't want it to be a place where you're guilted or manipulated and to giving. But what I've seen with you guys is that you believe in what we're doing, and you're experiencing God in it, and it's not just showing up. You are investing in it, and that's cool. So I don't want to change anything on that end, okay? But as we head ahead, head towards the coming months, I think that one of the biggest things that I feel that we're going to start implementing right now, God's really been putting this on my heart and Dina's heart in the last few weeks, is I think we're going to, this summer at least, probably on Tuesday night, start just a weekly prayer and worship gathering. It's going to be real informal, probably acoustic guitars and just praying for each other. I just feel like as a church, though, really making some time to care for one another in prayer ministry, but also to ask God for wisdom and pray for God's plans for us as a church. Really, that we, there's a lot of, as I say, I want us to be creative, live lives of creative goodness. I don't want us to just do things that sound good. I want us to, I'm all for creativity, but I also want us to hear from God. So that's a good combination, hearing from God and being creative. So probably in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start just a little Tuesday night prayer thing. So if you're, I just feel as we've gone to two services here on the weekend, sometimes we don't have a whole lot of time for personal prayer ministry. And I know as the pastor here, a lot of you guys just don't really know what's going on. And I guess as the pastor, I get to hear about all kinds of things. And I just know there's a ton of people in our church that are just going through it in so many different ways. I just want us to provide a place where you can walk in and have some people just pray for you and just let God show up in your life and see what happens. So, Josh, you want to be my usher?
Sure.
As we get ready to close today, and we're going to do our newcomers lunch here in a minute, I just ask that if you haven't already filled out one of these things, if you could put your name and contact stuff on it, and then just check off any of the areas that you might be interested in. And in the coming weeks, we're going to probably start, a missions team. Probably going to get in contact with those of you who want to be in a Stevens ministry kind of thing. And so you can drop that in, and if you came prepared to give an offering this morning, you can drop that in as well. I'm going to pray over the offering, and we'll wrap this thing up. Lord, we thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. God, we thank you for just calling us all together to be a part of this community, part of this church. God, we just pray for your wisdom and your empowering presence as we head into the coming months and coming years, God, that we would be people of your presence, people who have creativity to love this community in new and innovative ways, God. We just invite you to open our eyes to your ways. And we pray your blessing on this offering, that it would go to the work of your kingdom. And we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's any other ways on this bulletin that you don't see, there's a big other column. And, you know, if we do get into a new building, which we hope to, we will probably need some people who know something about construction. You know, if you got any kind of gift that's not listed, you can put it down. So thank y'all for coming. And if you want to stay for the lunch thing, just talk to us, okay? Just talk to us. Just hang around, and we're going to set some tables and have lunch here in a minute. God bless.